is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Great, Lynn. It's great to have you back on, and it's great to be back with our audience. A few of you out there have sent me some well wishes, which I really appreciate. I'm recovering from surgery, and if it wasn't for my daughter, I wouldn't be able to do this. She set up all the gear here for me, so I gotta say thank you to Emily for doing this, so I'm able just to sit here comfortably in my lounge chair and talk to you guys.
Yeah, we're so happy that you're back, and we're so happy that the surgery went okay, and we're so glad to hear from you.
Yeah, no, thank you. And still in a lot of pain and very uncomfortable, and it's going to be a very long recovery, but we take one day at a time. Lynn, one of the things, while I've been out of it a little bit, there was an article or news report that just came through about that an airline pilot was uneasy, and there was an autistic child that was kicked off a U.S. flight with an emergency landing. And this stirred up a tremendous amount of controversy in the autism community.
Yeah, I mean, everybody read that article.
Yeah, no, definitely. Anytime, you know, obviously, if you're a member of the autism community and you see something come along the headlines, whether it's good, positive, negative, whatever it might be, it catches your attention for sure. Because I know, like, my parents, my family, you know, a lot of them sent me this article, and, you know, I looked it over, and, of course, wanted to talk about it today, and we put this on our social media page, and the response was tremendous. There was a lot of responses that were all over the page that people, some agreed with and some didn't agree with. But just a little bit of background on the story for those of you that may not have heard the story, but there was an American family that was flying United Airlines from Houston to Portland that were forced off a plane after an emergency landing because the pilot was very uncomfortable with an autistic child on board. And obviously, believe it or not, the family is actually filing a lawsuit about this. The woman's name was Donna Beagle, and she was traveling with her 15-year-old autistic daughter, Juliet Forbes. The incident unfolded after Donna realized that her daughter had not eaten her dinner yet. And she was getting a little upset and started thinking, you know what, she didn't eat her dinner. And the mother said, I know her. And when she gets overly hungry and overly thirsty, she struggles because she can't just tell us, and she starts to get extremely frustrated. And being extremely picky, her daughter needed a hot meal, and it led Beagle to ask if she could actually purchase a hot meal from the first class. Now, at first, they refused her, and even after she explained that her daughter had autism, the flight attendant said that the exception could not be made, okay? But then Beagle went on to clarify that her daughter, if she did not get a hot meal, she would reach a melting point that could potentially scratch someone, she said, And shortly after this, Juliet was brought a first-class meal. But what followed afterwards was very bizarre, the sequence of these events, when the pilot actually made an announcement over the loudspeaker stating that the plane would be making an emergency landing because the passenger in the back of the plane who has behavior issues. Juliet was calmly watching her video in her seat at the time that was reported, and the paramedics actually came on board first and approached Beagle family to check to see if everyone was okay. They saw that she was there, fine, watching her own show. And then, of course, then next, the police arrived and had the family leave the plane. And her mom believes that they were off the plane because they fear autism. And the police officer on the scene added that the family was only being escorted out of the plane because the pilot was not comfortable flying further with Juliet on board. But they said a majority of the passengers actually appeared very appalled by this move and actually had no problem with Juliet's behavior, according to Donna. So, this is the thing. This is not coming directly from the passengers. This is the mother saying that the passengers had no problem with her behavior. So we don't know either. Of course, United Airlines have come out and, tried to accommodate the Beagle family. And they said in the end, the decision to land the plane was made with safeties of the passengers in mind. So that's basically what they came about with that. So I don't know. Lynn, how did you feel about this story when it broke?
My first reaction was that I was appalled because being the mother of a severely autistic child, I could see myself in that position. Sometimes you don't know how your child's going to react, and you kind of expect, if you tell the flight attendant the situation like this mother did and said that your child is going to, melt down if they don't get, the meal on time, you expect them to sort of accommodate you right away. I mean, and so I think them doing it after the fact that she had to first go into further explanation about it was sort of annoying for the mom, because she knew her daughter was going to go into this, and she shouldn't have had to go into a whole big explanation. They should have said, "Oh, we understand she's special needs. Let's accommodate." So that was I think I would be upset, honestly. And then to stop the plane when she really didn't have any behaviors afterwards, that part just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, unless she was sitting there hitting the passengers or, really getting disruptive on the plane, I don't understand why they would stop. I mean, I think to me it's just avoiding legal troubles for them to stop the plane and let her off.
Yeah, I mean, we got, obviously there was like a ton of responses to this, and they're all over the map.
Right.
There was one that wrote in that said, scratching is when a person is doing it, because that's what she said. She said that she would scratch, someone. But how do you know? They said, she wouldn't do that with an autistic child. Might need a team of adults to restrain them if they had a meltdown possibly. But she said that, of course, the mother wasn't making a threat. She was just simply stating that if her daughter wasn't served hot food, then she now could go into a violent rage. And she said it's not the mom's fault. She didn't warn the airline of her possible violent autistic child. And the airplane is being, she said, ridiculous, suggesting someone who scratches lacks empathy, who cannot be reasoned with, should be taken off the plane. And she said, God forbid someone defended themselves, she should roam the aisle like something from a horror film, grunting and attacking a parent would sue. So if you can't control it, can't defend it from yourself, it doesn't belong on a plane. That was one person's view. So it was. There's some harsh views for sure on both sides of the fence here. And one individual who has autism wrote in and said that I have autism and it's agreed by most of the group that she should have been kicked off the flight and the mother should have been better prepared for this beforehand because people with autism are not special needs. This is what he says. And actually takes offense to that, and the girl was high-functioning as I am, he says. I could certainly ride a plane by myself, and even as a small child, he said, nothing special was done for me, nothing more than a typical child with a short attention span would need, coloring book, crayon, stuffed animal. I think it's the mother's fault if she hadn't demanded special treatment of threat of violence. This would not have happened, he said. Basically, please do not extend this as a blanket statement against people with autism. So he said he'd ridden, you know, been on a plane 900 times and nothing happened, you know. So
again, we're talking about different levels of functioning, different age of the child, you know. In this particular situation, maybe this person, I don't know, did they say she was high functioning or she's...
They actually don't say.
Right, they didn't say. So I'm thinking she's more on the severe side if the mother was worried that she would have a... Even the high functioning ones have meltdowns.
Absolutely. So, everybody.
Again, it depends on the mother knowing that. And I think, you know, the mother knowing that she could have the potential to me, it would just be annoying that they stopped it after the fact that she wasn't doing anything. I mean, if you're going to stop the plane, you're going to do it if she's actually does the behavior, not because the mother threatened that she might have that behavior. That just doesn't make any sense. You know?
Well, unless the pilot, once they alerted the pilot of it, you know, he was scared, I guess, maybe at that point that, you know, there's a possible threat. So, you know, they just decide to remove it from the plane, basically. That's what his thinking was,
and
I'm guessing.
I understand the person who wrote in that had autism because he doesn't want... The media sometimes makes these things so big, and people just generalize, oh, all people with autism, you know, cause commotion on planes. So he didn't want people to think that, you know, everybody is like this that has autism. You know, people have to realize there's different levels, there's different comfort levels with traveling. So every kid, every person is different. And that's, you know, that's, I think, why that person felt that way, that, you know, it needs to be taken into consideration individually, each case individually. You know?
Well, you know what's crazy is some of the responses are so diverse. Like one mother wrote, actually the mother failed, she wrote, as a caregiver, this one mom wrote in.
Wow.
And she expected special treatment to solve the problem she actually created. She should have been better prepared, and the pilot should be praised for landing the plane safely and removing any possible problem. So that was one response. I was like, wow.
Yeah. And then again, like you and I being parents of an autistic child, we know you can prepare and prepare and prepare, but then again, you have to expect the unexpected as well. So that's
absolutely
the other thing.
Absolutely. I remember going to Disney World. It was the first time we ever flew with Jonathan on the plane, and we had no idea. I mean, we planned months in advance, all kinds of snacks. We had the iPod. We had a portable DVD player with movies. I mean, we tried to bring everything possible to, you know, make his flight as comfortable as possible to distract him. And actually, he was great on the way down. He was fine. I mean, we absolutely had no problems. He ate. Before we knew it, he landed. He was happy. We were off the plane. It was great. But going home, on the other hand, was not the same experience. So it just goes to show you, no matter what, you know, what works one time may not work the next time. And it all depends on their mood. And he ended up kicking the seat in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman got so PO'd, she actually asked if she could move. So.
That's always awesome.
It was not fun.
We sit 2x2. Like, we always put Michael, like, we put my husband and Amanda in the front and me and Michael in behind so that if Michael does kick, he'll kick.
Well, that, you know, it's funny. We actually tried to arrange our seating, and then when we got there, the seating was all screwed up, so we didn't have that option because we did it on the way down just in case, actually.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times parents won't think of that either. You know,
yeah,
you think, bring everything with you, you bring all your tools in the trade, you call it, you know, your books, everything that the child likes and you know, at home. But like I said, they get on a plane, it's a different experience. They're under cabin pressure, you know, their ears might hurt. You don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, one time I think we were so worried about Michael, and meanwhile he slept the whole time. We had him medicated and he was out the entire, we had like a long delay or something, so he fell asleep the whole flight. He was perfect. And Amanda was little, so she was like, and she was a typical kid, but she was the one who was more antsy and couldn't sit still. We didn't have a seat for her, so she was like moving back. I mean, you know, it's hard with kids, period, but, you know, just in general, you can prepare and prepare, and you just don't know what's going to happen. So I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
one person wrote in, Lynn, this is very interesting, wait to hear this, wrote in, maybe the real question should be, if the pilot really thought that the girl was a hazard to the flight, and when disembarking them in theatrically with legitimate reason, then why did he rebook them, the family, on a different carrier? And he was saying how it sounds more like a case of United pawning off a client they decided they did not want mid-flight, like it or not. she is protected under the Americans with Disability Act. And if you or your child are required that type of protection, you would feel the same as the mother did. So that's very interesting. You know, I didn't think of it that way.
That is interesting.
So, you know, this mother may actually have a legitimate gripe against the airline for this. I mean,
And
I'm wondering, too, and I don't know if you did this, but did you notify anybody on the plane that you have an autistic child with you?
Yeah, we did. Every time we flew.
Yeah, we did too. And we actually, when we went to Disney, we actually notified Disney as well when we got there. Because I think that's important, because if you don't do that, then it's kind of your fault, I feel. Because at least if you give them a heads up, there is training now that's available to many airlines that they are trained in dealing with autistic children and being more understanding for sure.
Yeah, and I think also when you do notify the flight attendants or whoever, you know, even in the airport, going through airport security, we always tell them, because Michael couldn't stand there and wait on lines and wait to be, we'd be able to get in front of the line, we'd be able to board the plane ahead of time. So, yeah, I think she should have alerted the airlines. I don't know whether she did or not in this case. I think also it's a case of everybody's afraid of being sued today. So it sounds like United Airlines is, afraid of a lawsuit that they wanted her off. They were just nervous about being sued, you know.
Well, now they might get sued anyway, it sounds like. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think you can win here.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But I'm just saying everybody's always afraid of, not reacting to a possible threat, I guess, being said, so who knows? I mean, I think they were trying to play it safe, but at the same time, they're offending the autism community, so it's hard. It's a hard, I don't know.
Well, here's another response, and now this one has no autistic children. So now you could see how this question or this response would make sense coming from them, right? She says that it's not the responsibility of the stewardess to heat up some soup. It's the responsibility of the mother to ascertain her child is cared for properly.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's only a hot meal. The mother should have made arrangements in advance.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of agree a little bit with that.
Right.
Because you can't expect the stewardess just to drop everything and get her a hot meal. I know if you or I were on the plane without our child and we asked for it, we wouldn't get it either.
Exactly.
Because you have to order it ahead of time. I know that. It's a first-class thing whether you want to pay for it or not. You have to pay for that in advance.
Right.
Because they usually
don't. I
think
the mother was a little bit demanding, saying she wanted a hot meal right away. And, if she would have told them ahead of time, maybe she wouldn't have run into this problem. So I think it's partly definitely the mother to blame.
I think it's a little bit of both, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
And I think, once the child had the hot meal and was calm, I don't know what the problem was. That's the problem I have.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I just don't understand that. I don't understand why after she was calm, and then again, now whose word is it that she was calm? I guess it's the press, like the passengers. Who said? I guess everybody said she was calm afterwards. So, if everybody was in agreement that she was calm, why did they stop the plane?
Yeah, I know. That's what I don't understand. Yeah. And then the mother also made a statement now that everybody on the plane had no problem with her. Like, basically, she was very well behaved and everything. So they couldn't understand. Now, like I said, that's her saying this. We're not hearing actually from the passengers directly. But I'm wondering if they'll ask some of those passengers on the flight some of the responses.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, there's always more than one side to every story. There's actually three sides if you look at every story. There's your side, there's their side, and then there's the truth somewhere in the middle,
Somewhere in the middle, right, and that's how news, right. And the other thing is, too, if the mother had said nothing and said nothing about that her daughter could be a potential threat and had just, said, could we have the meal, and she finally got the meal and she was quiet, would the airline even stop?
Yeah.
Would this have even happened if the mother kept her mouth shut and said nothing, and her daughter was fine and quiet? Would they, what would have happened? I don't know. Maybe it was her fault by even saying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's also some of these people wrote in too. They're saying so much got taken out of context too.
Mm.
I guess the mother maybe could have addressed the situation a little bit differently.
Right.
Because she basically told someone that, the kid might get anxious and upset and might actually scratch someone, and that's why she needed to buy a hot meal. So if you say that, that's kind of like a threat. I mean, if you don't know better and someone said that to you, what would you think?
Right, you'd be nervous.
You'd be very nervous. You'd be like, oh, my God, this person's going to scratch someone. And you don't know where. Is it going to be in their face? Is it going to be on their arm? You know, you can't have someone, you know, threatening passengers either. And then enclosed, you know, you got to remember, an airplane is a very small, closed environment. And there's nowhere for really the people to go, you know. And so it's a very tough, tough story, I think. And I just feel like, you know, there needs to be probably more investigation on this story, too, to really find out what more happened as well.
We haven't heard the end of it either.
No, I'm sure you won't. I'm sure you won't. You know, I'm sure this story, is, like I said, is going to go to court. You know, I just don't understand, if the kid was behaving, why did the, you know, pilot all of a sudden turn around the plane?
Yeah.
Now, unless he already had made up his mind before the kid was calm, and he just felt like, you know what, I can't take a chance, we need to land this plane. Or the way it was even told to him. Because think about it, he's just up there focused on flying a plane. He's not thinking about really what's going on. He's only getting information. So if the stewardess went to him and said to the pilot, like, oh, we have a threat, we have this autistic child that may be running around scratching people. So, you know, it could be how it was perceived to him, too. Let's face it.
Yeah,
he didn't come back there and
even
talk to them.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying he didn't come back there and directly talk to the family or go back there himself to assess the situation. He's getting it secondhand directly from the, you know, stewardess, too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I wonder if the stewardess took it out of, freaked out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that, you know, it would be interesting to hear the person's point of view who was told the information. Like, maybe she heard autism, she heard, you know, the person might have a meltdown, might scratch, so she flipped out. You know what I mean? So who knows?
Right.
Like, maybe
no,
she just, you know, she's not familiar with that scenario, and she got scared and told the pilot. So, who, you know, you don't know how things played out.
Right, right.
So,
you know, and then we had one mom that wrote in and said, you know, if you knew anything about autistic kids or you read the article, you would know that autistics are very picky kids when they eat. And obviously the mother forgot to pack a hot meal. She knew the kid needed a hot meal and then tried to get one. It's not like she left the kid unfed or anything, you know, and because I guess someone wrote something, you know, was responding to someone else's response. Because there was a lot of responses to this article. I mean, it's crazy how much this stirred up a controversy.
Interesting.
You know, in the autism community. But it seems like a lot of the parents both agreed, and these are coming from parents of autistic children, said the mom didn't plan well.
Yeah, I think the mom definitely should have planned better.
You know?
And you would have, or if you know your daughter has to have a hot meal, maybe heat up something and then get on the plane and give it to her right away. I don't understand why she didn't.
No. Why didn't she plan ahead, you know?
Right.
But, you know, if she didn't prepare her, you know, none of that would have happened. Think about it. If she was better prepared,
right,
that would not have put her daughter and the whole plane in danger. I mean, that's pretty much what happened, you know? Because the, you know, the pilot was told of a possible threat, and what he did was remove the threat. So, and reacting that way, he wasn't wrong, but maybe if he had better facts or whatever, it could have been avoided altogether. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. And then it's weird because you compare it to somebody who has like a mental problem who, you know, seems perfectly normal, and then, you know, nobody has any suspicions that this person has mental issues, and they get on the plane, and then they, you know, something could come out of nowhere with no warning, you know. So it's just so strange. You like sometimes you're better off. It's just, you compare it to something like that where you have no clue that the person's going to go off the edge, and yet they do. So, you know,
yeah,
this world is just crazy. It's not, everything is expect the unexpected, and no, nowhere is safe. No public place is safe anymore either. You know, that whole thing comes back into play. You know, you get scared. But I think people in the autism community reacted as like, we don't want autism to be seen as a threat. You know?
No, I think that's true. That's a big statement for sure.
Right.
You know, because these kids are wonderful kids, and you know, they do some amazing things and have great abilities. And, you know, definitely don't want to put fear now, you know, putting it out there like fear for autism.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what this story does a little bit, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, they're not showing a lot of the good side of this and how well, you know, our kids are behaved and, you know, doing some great things. And, you know, it seems like, you know, this story, unfortunately, is a negative, another negative story in the autism community that shined a light.
Right.
And it's, you know, We don't really want these kind of stories. We want to hear better things about better breakthroughs, or kids who, you know, were struggling nonverbal, start saying words again. Those are the kind of stories we want to be hearing.
Right.
But the main media, this is the kind of stuff that happens. And then, you know, it just blows up. I mean, this thing was everywhere. It was on the news. I saw it on the news like three times. They told about this story. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we'll definitely be, Lynn, following this story, you know, in the future. And, you know, we'll keep you updated and see what the outcome is. You know, we'll see what's going on. I'm sure down the road there'll be a story about it. A couple months now, there'll be some more information. So.
Hi, I'm Melody McIver, Saxton, and I have a severely autistic adult son. Personally, I think they should have gave that child a meal and just kind of tested the waters concerning that airplane emergency landing that took place. They should have gave that girl a meal and then just tested to see how she was going to react. What people don't understand, that mother, yes, she should have been prepared beforehand, but we don't know if there were circumstances that may have happened before they got on the plane. As a parent of an autistic adult child, most of you guys that are on the Facebook knows what I'm talking about, especially people that are familiar with my posts about my son. So personally, I think they should have been a little bit more caring and went ahead and provided the meal and then decided, you know, and tested to see how she was going to react. That's my thought. Y'all have a great day.
So, but we got a ton of responses on this question on our Facebook, social media, and I'll remind everybody that you first have an New Jersey Federal Union's annual golf tournament at Picatinny. Don't forget to get your tickets today. There's still some availability. You can call Adia Abswab at 973-785-9200, extension 3392. Again, Adia Abswab at 973-785-9200, extension 3392. Or you can email her at marketing@njfcu.org. Also, Lynn, remind them that we have our great casino night coming up on September 18th. From 7 to 11 at the Bethwood, Ottawa, New Jersey. It's going to be a great night out and a great fundraiser for Autism Radio. So hopefully we'll see everybody out there at the Bethwood. And hopefully I'll be feeling a lot better by then and back to a normal life. So hopefully everything will be going well. So look forward to seeing everybody and hearing from everybody as usual. Lynn, we'd like to thank all our listeners for the continued support here on the program. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. I can see their world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember hope saves the day.